Praise the Lord Jesus. God bless everyone today. God bless everyone. Amen. Amen. I know it's not the first time I'm here, but I still, every time I'm here, I feel honored and privileged to be here with everyone. God bless everyone who's watching on the internet through video. Today's a very, very special day as we will be partaking in Holy Supper of the Lord. And I want us to rise real quick to our feet. I promise to be very brief today, as there's something a lot more important. But I also promise to share everything that the Lord put in my heart for all of us today. Not just you, also myself. And I want us to go to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, chapter 100. And I ask us all to stand because we're just showing reverence to God. He is here today. His Holy Spirit is here today. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all here today. And in reverence to them and in honor to them, we're going to stand. We're going to show them that we are appreciative of everything that they do for us every single day. We're appreciative of all their love and all their mercy, all their healing power. We are appreciative of everything that He does for us. Amen? So we do this in reverence to Him. And we go to the book of Psalms, chapter 100, and we read in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You may be seated. Lord, we come before You, and we thank You, Father, for this word, Lord. We thank You for Your faithfulness, Father God. We thank You for everything that You have done until this point, Father, because everything has been in Your perfect plan, Lord. We ask, Lord, that as I speak, Father, Your Spirit flow freely. And if He has to heal, Lord, I ask that Your Holy Spirit heals. If He has to touch, Lord, if He has to heal wounds, Lord, I ask that He does as He pleases. And we give Him full liberty in this day, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And you may be seated. Like I said before, and I love the first verse because it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Make a joyful shout. And it's so hard sometimes to make a joyful shout, let alone a shout altogether. Sometimes we feel as though we're being burdened. We're being overtaken, overwhelmed by the trials and the tribulations of everyday life. Or sometimes we are being overtaken by the trials and the burdens of others. But sometimes we just have to realize that in the midst of that trouble, in the midst of that problem, we are able, we should be able, capable of lifting up. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Making a joyful shout is not just like any other shout. There's shouts when we get angry. There's shouts when we get excited. There's shouts when we're in pain. There's shouts when we're in sorrow. But the shout that the Lord wants to hear is the joyful shout. Because in the middle of your sickness, in the middle of your tribulation, if you lift up a joyful shout, you are letting Him know that, Lord, I believe in Your word. I believe in Your promises. And I know that no matter how much time has passed, You are always faithful. How many can clap your hands to the Lord this morning? And we start with that. That is the message that the Lord gave for today, that time may pass and still He is faithful. Time has passed. Time probably passed since the last time you confessed your sins to God. Time may have passed since the last time you had a conversation with the Lord, an open conversation where you have poured out your heart to God. Tell Him everything that is ailing you. Tell Him everything that is bothering you. Tell Him everything that you have been passing through. It may have been months, it may have been days, it may have been hours, but time has passed, but still He is faithful. He may have made promises years ago. He may have made promises decades ago. And still today, He is fulfilling promises that were set long ago. Still today we have seen his providence. Still today we have seen his healing. Still today we are experiencing a joy that is not like any other joy. Still today we are able to experience a peace that is not like any other peace. It is not temporary. His joy is everlasting. Amen? Serve the Lord with gladness. And I'm going to step down. Apologize to those people. Hopefully you can hear me. But I'm going to step down. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. And you may look at me and say, but Brother Jawan, how am I supposed to serve the Lord with gladness when all I know in my life is pain? When all I know in my life is betrayal? When all I've seen in my life is sickness? When it hurts me to wake up every morning, to turn to the other side, to get up from bed, when it pains me to even walk. Brother Jawan, how is it possible to serve him with gladness? I live alone. I'm always alone. Nobody walks with me. How do you expect me, Brother Jawan, to serve him with gladness? All I know is pain. All I know is sadness. All I know is sorrow. All I know is that someone promised, someone took a vow, and they swore a vow before God and before witnesses that they would be with me in sickness and in health, through better or through poor. How? How do you expect me if I'm on my second relationship, I'm on my third relationship, my children have left me, no one calls me, no one reaches out to me, my cell phone never rings, I never receive a text message, I never receive an email. How do you expect me to serve the Lord with gladness? Because it's easy for somebody to tell you what to do when they're not feeling and going through what you're going through. It's very easy for me to expect for you to be glad and for you to be joyful when I don't know what's in your heart, when I don't know what's in your mind. But the God that you and I serve sees it all. There is not one tear that goes uncounted. There is not one thought that goes unstudied. So when the Bible says, and the psalmist is telling you, serve the Lord with gladness, he's not telling you that you have to be happy all the time. He is letting you know that you have to be glad for what he has done and what he continues to do. Maybe you don't see him working this because you might think he's busy doing something else. No, it's that what he has for you is so great and so unique that he wants everybody to look upon it and smile. Serve the Lord with gladness. In the middle of your pain, just remember, he gave his life for you. He said, you know what? I'm going to give up my happiness. I'm going to give up my time with my family. I'm going to give up my time with my friends. Because we forget, we say, yes, we know that Jesus is our God. We know that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah. But what about his earthly life? What about the time that he spent with Mary, his mother, or his siblings? What about the time he spent with his friends, the disciples? What about all those memories? Sometimes we become so faithless. Sometimes we become so avaricious. We become so greedy. We want everything when we want it. We want everything when we expect it. And we forget that Jesus left his throne. Left his royalty, he left everything in heaven, left his father's side to say, no, Lord, I want to do this for them. I want to show them what they are capable of doing. They are capable of doing greater things. You are been called to be more than conquerors through Christ. Sometimes we just think about ourselves. And I include myself because there's times where I'm very, very prideful, and I just think of myself. And every once in a while, I need somebody to remind me. I need somebody to bring me back down to earth and tell me, remember what he did. Remember that none of this would have been possible without God's intervention. Remember that none of this, none of what you have, your family, your career, your ministry, none of that would have been possible without God's intervention. And it's easy sometimes for us to forget about that. And what? We become bitter. We become frustrated. We become sad. We even become vindictive sometimes. We seek our own revenge. How am I supposed to serve the Lord with gladness when there is a root of revenge that is being grown, that's been growing in my heart? There's a root of vindictiveness that has been growing in my heart. How am I supposed to serve the Lord with gladness when everyone who I serve despises me? Everybody who I serve looks down on me. It's so hard sometimes to be a Christian. How many say amen? How many of us can accept the fact that it's sometimes very hard to be a Christian? We go through so much. We deal with so much. We deal with so many different people. And we say to ourselves, man, this is very hard. Lord, I don't understand. It's especially in a marriage, it is so hard to be married to someone. Why? Because we feel as though we need to meet their expectations every day. We need to assure their happiness every day. We need to be the one who supplies. We need to be the one who's there. We need to be the upbeat person when they're feeling low. And it's such a hard commitment. What about when I'm feeling sad, right? What about, Lord, what if I don't want to be happy, Lord? What if I want to feel pain, Lord? What if I don't deserve to feel happy, Lord? What if I've done someone so wrong? What if I've done so much wrong things in my life that I don't deserve your happiness, Lord? And that is when God says, I am merciful. I forgive you. I forgive you. Therefore, you should forgive yourself. Sometimes we cannot serve the Lord. We cannot serve God with gladness because we ourselves have not forgiven ourselves. We can't get past one certain thing that we did in our lives. And we choose to live with that guilt every single day. My brother needed me and I wasn't there. I don't deserve to be happy. My mother needed me and I couldn't be there for her. And I chose not to be there for her. Therefore, I can't be happy. If God forgave your sins, if God has washed you white as snow, why do you continue to stain yourself with that past? Why do you continue to stain yourself with that sorrow and that sadness? It is time for you to realize that this is the moment where you give thanks to God, when you enter through his courts with praise. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. So why do we have to categorize ourselves? Why do we have to put ourselves in a little box and say, this is who I am and no one can change this? Or this is what I've been so far, when God made us and he knows who we are. We find our identity through him, through his faithfulness. See, man will fail you. Women will fail you. Your boss may fail you. Your family may fail you. But God is always faithful. I was watching something in the news. And I was watching this news. I'm having a loss for words here. This reporter was reporting on a male who got injured, fell off a two-story building. And this man was laying in a stretcher, being ready to get taken away. And into the far corner, there's a person holding a dog. And this dog is going crazy. And this dog, he can't find peace. This dog is barking. This dog is yelling. This dog wants to be set free. And he's fighting with the person. The person's holding him back, and the person's holding him back. But the dog wanted to break free. Until finally, the dog was able to break free. And the first thing that the dog does is go lay with the man who was on the stretcher. And people try to rip him away, and he stayed. He barked, he bit, he yelled, he growled, but no one was going to take him away from his master. Sometimes that is how we have to be with God. We have to have this fight in us. We have to have this perseverance in us. We have to have this devotion that doesn't matter what wants to separate us from God. The Bible says, nothing will separate me from the love of God. What shall separate me from the love of God? This animal, this dog, this creature that doesn't have what you and I have was able to realize that nothing could keep him away from his master. He was faithful. He was faithful even in the middle of his master dying, being in a stretcher, about to be carried away. He knew the value of being next to his master. And in order for us to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, in order for us to understand the immense and greatness of his faithfulness, we have to do as that dog. We cannot let anything keep us away from his love. Amen. We cannot allow anything to separate us from him. There's going to be offers coming into our lives. There's going to be distractions coming into our lives. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to want to keep us away from the master. But we have to understand that the same God who's called us is the same God who is with us today, is the same God who's going to be with us tomorrow. If we go through the fire, we will not get burned. If we're thrown into the lion's den, his faithfulness will keep us whole. King Darius, after Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, would come visit and would call out, "Daniel, are you alive?" And Daniel would say, "Yes, my Lord has kept me safe." In the lion's den, in the middle of everything. Could you imagine that today? Could you imagine if today, in this world, we are thrown into a lion's den for being faithful to God, for being faithful to his words, for being faithful to his love? Could you imagine that persecution nowadays? To be thrown in a lion's den. How many of us have phobias? How many of us have phobias? Raise your hand. I have a phobia. I'm afraid of snakes. I'm afraid of spiders. Now imagine. I've seen so many shows on television. These reality TV shows. They want you to overcome your fear. And they put you in a cage with snakes. For money. Or they put you in a cage with spiders. Would you be capable of making it through? I turned the offer down right away. Oh, for $1 million. I didn't care if you offered me $10 million. There is no way I'm going to be caught dead in a cage with snakes, spiders, rats, or any of that. I could imagine the fear in Daniel's heart. But even in the midst of that fear, he knew that the God who called him was still with him. He knew that how many minutes had passed, him being in that lion's den, he knew how to believe in his God. He knew how to trust in his Lord. And he knew that God's faithfulness was great. It wasn't fine. It wasn't okay. It wasn't subpar. No, his faithfulness is great. That's why today everyone sings, all these psalmists sings, "Great is your faithfulness." And it's not just about singing about it. It's understanding that no matter how many times we've been let down, no matter how many times we've fallen, his faithfulness has been so great that it's given us the strength to get back up and keep fighting. And I remember as a child, growing up, they would tell me, "And if at first you don't succeed, try again." See, that's the baby praising God. How many clap your hands to the Lord? Even the babies worship. You see that? Now, speaking about faithful, we're speaking of remaining loyal and steadfast, firm and unwavering. Remaining loyal. You know how hard it is to remain loyal to somebody nowadays? You know how hard it is to remain firm and unwavering? There's times where I don't want to do certain things. There's times where I don't want to be certain places. But because I gave my word, I have to be there. I have to be firm and unwavering. I could easily just say, I could make up an excuse because the world is full of excuses, right? This is an excuse for everything today. I'm not feeling well. I live too far. I'm having car trouble. When you really want to be somewhere, you will be there. Am I right? How many of us don't look forward to vacationing? Is there anything that's going to hold us back from going on vacation? If you're sick, what do you say? What do? If you're feeling a little sick? "No, I got to go to the doctor. I got to get antibiotics. I got to do whatever I got to do because on this date, I have a flight to catch." We're so faithful to our vacations, right? We're so faithful to our plans. We're so faithful to our own agendas. But what happens when God intervenes and breaks up those plans? What happens when God interrupts your life? What happens when God interrupts my life? Am I still going to be faithful to Him? Or am I going to be faithful to my plan? See, that's the reason why a lot of people can't find Christ nowadays. A lot of people don't turn to Christ because they are too busy trusting and following their own plans. They are too busy trusting and following their own goals. I speak to a lot of non-believers, and the first thing they tell me is, when I accomplish what I want to accomplish, then I'll give your God a try. If my plans fail, then I'll give your God a try. And a lot of things that I've gotten praised for the glory of God, is for never changing who I am. A lot of people look up to me and they're like, you truly are a Christian. You really do love God. You honestly have endured a lot and you've stayed. But even that testimony, so much praise that I received, they're still like, no, I'm going to see it my way first. And if my way doesn't work, then I'll try God's way. Right? Even today, we see it in many churches. There's people who trust more in Frank Sinatra than in doing God. Why? Because they want it their way. They did it their way, right? They look for that praise. No one helped me. Everyone was against me, but you know what? I did it my way. And instead of singing praises, they're singing Frank Sinatra. He did it his way, right? I had a teacher who always told me, no matter what, you have to find a way to do it. No matter what, you have to find a way to accomplish things. And it's true. It's true. You have to find a way to accomplish. You have to find a way to get things done. But what better way than the only way? There is not your way, and then I'll try my way. There's only Yahweh. Amen? That just came to me fresh. You could use that. It's not copyrighted. It's not your way. It's not my way. It's Yahweh. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only answer to every question there is. When somebody asks me, listen, what should I do? Jesus. Find Jesus. What is Jesus going to do? Everything. Jesus is everything. He fulfills everything. We don't need anything else but Jesus. And when we find Jesus, when we are baptized in water and we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, then we come to know what it means to serve Him with gladness. Because in the midst of our trial, in the midst of the problem, we still believe, we still understand that God is with us. That in the world we may have afflictions, but hold fast. Take heart, I have overcame the world. God has done so many wonderful things in our lives. In Isaiah 25:1, it says He has done so many wonderful things that were planned long ago. Planned long ago. What does that tell us? That no matter how much time has passed, He is faithful. These things were planned long ago, but we're seeing them fulfilled today. Or do we not think that God knew the pandemic would strike? Or all these hurricanes, do we think that God did not know these were coming? It is not our job to question the Lord. It is not our job to question the Lord. It is our job to understand and believe that He is faithful. In the middle of the pandemic, He is faithful. In the middle of your sickness, He is faithful. Even in death, He is faithful. Nothing could separate us from His love. Nothing. I think of all the things all the excuses that I've made in my life for ministry, all the times that I was asked to speak and I chose not to, all the commitments that I broke just because I didn't want to do them. And then I think of that one commitment that Jesus had and saw it through. One commitment. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believe in Him shall be saved. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son. I wouldn't be capable of doing something like that. I have a son. And I think about it sometimes. And I say to myself, would I be capable of doing that? Could I be capable like Abraham to
to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. No. But that's the good thing, that God doesn't ask for sacrifice anymore. God seeks obedience. God doesn't want a sacrificial lamb. No, that's why Jesus came in the place of that sacrifice. Jesus came and said, no more sacrifice. I am the last sacrifice. There will be no more shedding blood for my name. I'm going to shed blood for you. See that? He took the roles and he reversed them. So when I want to falter in my promises with God, when I want to falter in my commitment with God, I remember that Jesus didn't falter. Jesus didn't waver. Jesus was steadfast. I think of a man like John the Baptist, that even though he was imprisoned, awaiting execution, never stopped believing. Never stopped trusting that God was going to see everything through. And he does. God sees everything through. God sees everything through. Everything in my life, everything in your life, everything that to many people is insignificant, has a purpose in God's hands. All of it. Promises that were made to your ancestors are still being fulfilled today. I said Jesus is the answer. There's been times in my life where I've been sad. There's been times in my life where I felt like I wasn't going to make it through. I felt faithless. And in those moments, God has sent someone to uplift me. At times it's been Pastor Jonathan. At times it's been others. The fact that I'm able to stand here and speak his word is testimony of his mercy and testimony of his love. Because I am no one without him. I have nothing without him. And I understand that. So when I am faced with so much trouble, with so much sadness, I remember the times, the calls that I've received in those moments. And that keeps me unwavering. That keeps me faithful to God. That keeps me believing that the one who's called me will see it through. When I reach my breaking point, when I reach that moment where I say, I can't do it anymore, that is when the Spirit of God takes over and sees it through. When we reach our breaking point, that is when God sees the breakthrough. When we reach that breaking point, that is because your breakthrough is right around the corner. But in order for us to see the breakthrough, and when I speak about breakthrough, I'm being literal in every aspect of the word. Sometimes there's a wall in front of us. There's a hindrance in front of us. It's our faith, and then there's God. And then whatever's in between is the point of breaking. That's what we got to break to get to the other side. When Jesus came to see Lazarus after he had passed, Martha said, if you had come sooner, my brother wouldn't have perished. And Jesus said, Martha, remove the stone. Martha, remove the rock. Remove whatever is hindering your faith, Martha, because I want to show you what I'm capable of doing. I have not come to see you suffer. I have come to end suffering. I have not come to see you weep. I have come to dry your tears. That is the faithfulness of God. That is how we are able to sing, great is your faithfulness. A lot of people are like, where's your God today? Where's your God now? People question me all the time when I'm feeling sad. Oh, where is your God? I'm like, he's right there. He is speaking through you. He is reminding me that I have to seek him first. When we hear criticism, instead of getting upset, we should use that as the fuel to turn to God. It's a reminder that man will fail you, but God will never fail. Clap your hands to the Lord one more time. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says that we may become faithless sometimes. How many of us have become faithless? How many of us have lost our faith? O ye of little faith, right? Says the word. O ye of little faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So you're telling me that even though I lose all hope, that even though I lose all faith, that even though I lose all belief, he continues to be faithful? So that's where my mind goes to when David says, who is man? Who am I? Who is man that you should have memory of him? In the middle of our faithlessness, God continues to be faithful. In the middle of my doubt, that doesn't change the outcome of God in my life? Is that what you're telling me? Are you telling me that in my negligence, in my incredulity, are you telling me that he is still faithful? Are you telling me, Brother Jawan, that even though my children, my family are non-believers, that God is still faithful? Jawan, are you telling me that even though Lot was with his family in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham, he prayed for them every single day, he interceded for them every single day. Jawan, are you telling me that God was faithful? Yes, God was faithful. Abraham cried. Abraham interceded every day for Lot and his family. And every day the number changed. And every day he prayed. But Lord, if there was 10, Lord, if there was 30, Lord, if, knowing that there was only one family. And God told him, even if there is 10, I shall hold my wrath. Even if there is 7, I shall hold my wrath. Why? Why do you believe that? Why do you think so? It's because you are the pillar. You are the pillar that is drawing God's grace and mercy towards your family. You are that beacon. You are that beacon. So it is up to you. It is up to me to stay unwavering, to stay steadfast, because everyone around us depends on it. It's so sad when we see a brother in the faith backslide. It's so sad and it's so heartbreaking that a person that you once look up to, it's like imagining me. You guys see me here when God allows me to be here. Now imagine if I backslid. How many times I've preached here? How many times I've spoken here? How many times I've fellowshipped here? Imagine if you see me backslidden and turning away from what I once believed. How sad wouldn't that be? To walk around life seeing everyone who's backslidden. That should hurt. Seeing somebody who once worshipped and praised in the house of the Lord now being backslidden because of their faithlessness. Because they lost the faith. That's why you and I are beacons of faith. We don't do what we do for ourselves. Look, it says, he cannot deny himself. God cannot deny himself. He promised to be faithful. And this is another verse that I love. In Numbers chapter 23, it says, he is not a man that he may lie, or son of man to repent. God is not a man that he may lie. How many relationships have we not seen or been in where one partner lies to the other? I promise I'm going to change. This will be the last time. Things are going to get better. It's so easy to lie to someone. But it says he's not a man that he may lie. You know what? Sometimes we lie without even knowing we're lying. Because a half-truth is a lie. A half-truth is a lie. And I was praying and I was, Lord, what is going on in the world today, Lord? Why is it so hard for someone to believe in you, Lord? And he told me it's because they have believed the lies. It is so much easier to believe a lie than believe the truth. Because the truth makes you face what's right in front of you. But a lie keeps all your sins hidden. You can lie to man. You may be able to lie to the pastor, but you cannot lie to the Spirit of God. And every day I live my life in understanding that I may lie to Pastor Marathi, I may lie to my boss, I may lie to my wife, I may lie to my children, but I can never lie to God. He's going to see right through me. He's going to see my heart, and he's going to say, you're lying. When I say, Lord, I can't do it anymore, he's going to say, you're lying. You can do it. I was talking about bad lies. Everybody's looking at me like, don't start judging me. No. Sometimes we got to lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves sometimes. We say, we can't do this. We're incapable of doing this. We weren't called for this. And God says, yes, you were. You were called for ministry. You were called for intercession. You were called to suffer. But in the middle of that suffering, I am still faithful. In the middle of your pain, I am still there. His faithfulness is not a common one. And his faithfulness costs nothing. His faithfulness is for everyone. It costs nothing. I don't have to pay for it. He already paid the price on the cross. Now my faith depends on me. If I want to grow bitter, and if I want to grow frustrated because so much time has passed and I have not seen the promises fulfilled, then that's on me. But he continues to be faithful. It says he is at the door and he knocks. If someone were to listen and open the door, he would come in and dine with him, and they would dine with him. He's not forcing himself on no one today. I remember back in the day where I was being taught that if you don't do this, you were going to hell. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, you're going to hell. And I couldn't grasp that. I'm like, how is a God so great, God so loving, is going to send me to hell? And I couldn't understand that it's not God who's sending me to hell. It's my own actions that are condemning me. It's my own actions. It's my own walk. The path that I choose is the one that condemns me. If I choose not to believe in God, then I'm choosing not to receive his peace. I'm choosing not to receive his faithfulness. It's so easy to say God is not real. And I know a lot of people, a lot of family members of mine, and I find myself frustrated. I'm like, Lord, how can they think such a way? How can they say that you're not real? How is it so easy? How does it roll off the tongue so easily that God is not real? And I say to them, who do you think keeps you alive? Who do you think keeps you breathing? Who tells the body after you're sleeping to continue to breathe? And they'll try to come up with some scientific equation, some kind of scientific theory, some biological hypothesis. And at the end of the day, they have to realize that God is the one who keeps us going. God is the one who gives us life. The giver of life, the giver of joy, the giver of peace, the giver of faith. So, I'll end with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. So if you're going through a storm in your life, and God was, and I was praying, and I was like, Lord, what's going on with the world today? And he told me, many of them are experiencing their own hurricanes. They're experiencing their own storms in their lives. So when you are in the middle of that storm, when you find yourself in the eye of the storm, trying to escape, that you turn to the left and you're bombarded, you turn to the right and you're bombarded, you try to move forward and you can't, you take a step back and you're stuck. When you're feeling stuck in that storm, When you were feeling stuck in that hurricane in your life, just remember what it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20 and apply that every day. When you're being persecuted, when they're criticizing you, when they're chastising you in your job, in your school, remember 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9. Remember that, Joshua 1:9. I send you. I send you to be strong, to be courageous. Do not fear. Do not dismay, because I am with you wherever you go. Remember that. And I know today is not like any other day. I know there's a lot of pain. It's a lot of pain in the room. There is. It's a lot of sadness in the room. But remember, even in the middle of the sadness, we can still serve him with gladness for what he has done. And I've been very short today because there is no greater example than what we're going to be taking part of today. So I ask you to heed those words. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. All the promises of God are yes and amen. God bless you.